This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission, and he joins us every Thursday at this time, and we appreciate saying, Rafi, welcome to the show.
Hey, Neil. Good to be back on with you.
So, Rafi, if you don't mind, let's talk about this going back and forth tug of war as it relates to this police promotional process. I'm not exactly clear what it is we're trying to accomplish or remedy when no one has really said what the ultimate issue is with the present system, other than they received complaints of bias. Well,
right.
Who are the complaints from? What was it about? And this is their plan? I mean, something they put in place, and now all of a sudden, because of a complaint, we're going to disrupt the entire system?
Right. So, you know, again, I started getting word about the fact that the promotion system or promotion list from captain to major had been paused. So, as we talked about in your last show, the city spent over $100,000 paying an outside firm to prepare a test because there hadn't been a major's promotion since 1990, 34 years since the police department has promoted anyone to the rank of major. I think maybe the last person to make major was Ronnie Serpez, you know, at that time. So in any event, the city spent over $100,000 getting this test. The test was administered. There were 12 people that took the test. They were ranked according to the civil service test. Now, that test was administered not by the police department, but by civil service. So the ranking of the applicants is a twofold ranking system. 50% of it is the civil service test that I just described to you. And the other 50% is a ranking by the New Orleans Police Department. And this was a rule that was devised by the Cantrell administration and put into force in 2021. So this is their rule, the mayor's rule, that any rankings, the way that you determine the police department's rankings of these applicants for promotion is that you weight their work history, where they've worked, how long they've worked. They get their annual performance evaluations for 2 years, and they review the applicant's police department, internal affairs, or public integrity bureau file. Each of those three areas get rated a third. So collectively, they come up to 100%. They rank those. Those were ranked by the deputy chiefs using those three metrics. They combine the civil service score with the rankings, and they come up with a final list. So that was the city's, the mayor's, ranking procedure. And 2 days after the list of the rankings came out for major, the city announced that they were suspending that rule, ranking officers based on the metrics I just described. So they didn't explain why. And it's been told to us now by the public, to the public, that there were some concerns about potential bias. Now, my question when that was presented to me, I said, well, doesn't that rule apply to sergeants and lieutenants that are on a promotional list? And the answer that I received was yes. I said, are they still promoting sergeants and lieutenants based on that policy that they revoked for captains and majors? And the answer I received was yes. So if there was bias in the process, why not cancel promotions or pause promotions for sergeants and lieutenants as well as captains and majors? No one's been able to answer that question for me. So what's happened now is that the federal monitors acknowledge, pursuant to a question that I posed to them last week in a Zoom public hearing, acknowledge that they had heard that the mayor expressed concerns about the major's promotion list, thought that there may be some potential bias in that, and was responsible for revoking the city policy that she enacted 3 years before in this. So where it stands right now is you have the superintendent that has been working diligently behind the scenes to remove any appearance of bias. And what is being proposed by the superintendent is that the three metrics that I described, the officer's work history, their PIB internal affairs file, and their annual evaluations, will be forwarded to outside experts to rank them rather than deputy chiefs. So keep in mind, the deputy chiefs that are making these decisions, all of these deputy chiefs were deputy chiefs that were in place before Ann Kirkpatrick got here. Those chiefs were placed in those positions by the consultant that worked for the New Orleans Police Department for over a year, Fausto Plachardo. He recommended the deputy chiefs that are in place now, and they remain in place. So the mayor wanted the consultant to play a role in naming the deputy chiefs and suggesting who were the most deserving and appropriate deputy chiefs. Those deputy chiefs were the ones that sat and ranked the 12 finalists that were on the majors list. And the top two ranked officers were both captains in charge of the Public Integrity Bureau, and both of those oversaw investigations involving Officer Vappi. We know that the mayor didn't like the way that those investigations were handled, because when Officer Vappi was indicted, the indictment cites the fact that the interim superintendent at the time, Michelle Woodfork, was called into the mayor's office and told by the mayor that she was not going to be nominated and to be the permanent superintendent because of the Vappi investigation. So it appears that the mayor retaliated against Michelle Woodfork for the outcome of the Vappi investigation, and now the two highest-ranked officers on the promotions list to be promoted from the rank of captain to major were the two captains that were involved in the Vappi investigations. Now, I can't, I'm not privy to what the mayor told people, but you can't avoid the appearance if there's a bias involved in any of this, it appears that the bias is on the part of the mayor, where the mayor rescinded the policy that she put in place. And if that policy is good enough to promote sergeants and lieutenants, why is that policy now flawed to promote captains and majors? And to me, that suggests that the mayor didn't like the outcome of the process with respect to captains being eligible for promotion to major. And that's the reason why the policy was canceled, but only effective to the promotion list from captains to majors.
Help me understand this, if you don't mind. Chief Kirkpatrick said yesterday that she was granted the leeway to change the process by U.S. District Judge Susie Morgan. Now, in my view, that's incredibly problematic, because what we have right now is an allegation that the leadership of the NOPD has exhibited, and we have to assume it is its explicit bias, which requires intentionality as opposed to implicit bias, and in the grading and the matrix that was deployed in the grading of these candidates. Am I wrong on that? I mean, basically, no. What we have is that the leadership, the deputy chiefs of the NOPD cannot be trusted. They are involved in intentional bias.
That was the general announced statement by the police department in this.
So how does this remediation that's being attempted by Chief Kirkpatrick at this point in time remediate the fact that her leadership engaged in an activity that could be potentially a constitutional deprivation and criminal conduct?
Right. So
how do you square this up without anybody providing a scintilla of evidence? Now, if I was one of these deputy chiefs, I would be so pissed off right now. I mean, my eyes would be bloodshot. I mean, I'd be popping blood vessels that we're going to allow this conversation and this rhetoric to go on and not demand an explanation of where there is bias. Provide the evidence.
Okay, so, I mean, I agree with your analysis of this. And my analysis of the Judge Morgan allowing the superintendent's proposed remedy to fix the perception of a bias is to give the packets that have already been prepared and reviewed by deputy chiefs to independent third parties with subject matter expertise. Let them rank the 12 finalists. And actually, there's only 11 finalists now.
But this is for the this is for the captains as well. This is not just for majors. This is the captains list too.
Well, right. But keep in mind, there are no vacancies for captain right now. The only way that there would be a vacancy.
The list goes
two
on.
Captains were elevated to the two major positions that they intend. Yep.
Absolutely.
So the way I see this, Newell, is I believe that the judge is agreeing to the process so that it can move forward. She recognizes how important it is for officer morale to not allow politics to get in the way of promotions. So what I think the judge approved is a common sense and practical manner to move forward with the promotions of the applicants for the rank of major. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to forget about the allegations of bias. The federal monitor, during my question with him, indicated to me and the public, because these were public meetings, that the monitors were going to be doing an investigation and issuing a report on their findings with respect to this entire process. So I suspect, and this is my opinion, I can't prove it, but from where I sit, the reason that this promotion process was paused wasn't because of anything other than the mayor expressing her displeasure for the people that were ranked first and second, and there's only two people that will be promoted to the rank of major. So she didn't like the two people that were the top-rated people on the list. That's why she rescinded the policy and paused the process. And the superintendent, I believe, was surprised and wasn't prepared for that. And in a short period of time, the superintendent has gotten a new process that's been approved by the court. And obviously, she wouldn't have presented it to the court if it wasn't agreed to by the mayor. But the federal monitor, pursuant to some questions that we posed to him last week, acknowledged that, you know, A, it was something that was on his radar screen. B, he was concerned as well with the facts of it. C, that he went on record as saying that you don't change the rules in the middle of the game, you know, just because you don't like the outcome of you know, the score or the rankings. And three, the monitor said they were going to be doing an investigation and issuing a public report on this thing. I think that this list was paused not because of bias, but because of political meddling on the part of the mayor.
Well, I get all of that, but how do you think that you're going to restore confidence and credibility in this organization by engaging in this, what I'm going to refer to as this silly remedial action? Because what you have done is that if the outcome is different than what it was this time, basically what you're saying to the world is that the deputy chiefs of the NOPD are not to be trusted. And we had to go in there and change this. If there is one position that changes on that list, it is a validation in an indirect way of them being engaged in bias, and there is no evidence that that is in fact the case. And there's been nothing that has been publicly disclosed that, you know, if this judge, Susie Morgan, is really worried about the public confidence and the credibility of this organization, I would demand to see the complaints. It ought to be put out in the open, and it ought to be out there as to what bias they actually are saying that these deputy chiefs have engaged in. And they haven't even had the right to defend themselves. I mean, right. That would totally piss me off. I mean, you know, how dare you ask me to participate in a process. I participate in the process, and then all of a sudden there are allegations that I have engaged in bias. Show it to me. Where is it? Show the public the matrix on how many points are given for prior evaluations, how many points are given for the interview with the deputy chiefs, how many on the disciplinary history, and how many on job history, and how you actually break that up. But they've never revealed the terms and conditions of this assessment publicly, I have to imagine, for a reason. You know, and
so this is going to be the end of it. You know, and again, all of the points that you made are reasonable. That's why I think the superintendent has been working behind the scenes. She recognizes, you know, this is a bigger issue, as you just made the, you know, very clear, and I agree with you. This is a bigger issue.
Rafi, let me interrupt you. Yeah. Let me interrupt you once. Yeah. Because I like to go back to the definition, you know. So biases can be based on many different characteristics, including race, gender, physical abilities, religion, sexual orientation, weight, and age. And that's just a short list of it. But typically, you know, when we talk about bias, we're talking about, you know, race, gender, and sexual orientation for the most part, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. you know, where we are. What is the race and what is the gender of the deputy chiefs that are doing the assessment? And, you know, let's talk about the proclivity of whether or not there could be bias that's imposed. Is there a representation of white, black, Hispanic, and others, males and females, on the assessment committee? Why aren't we talking about that? Why aren't we talking about that as it relates to bias? Because I take this as a pretty damn serious allegation. If I'm in the fourth quarter of my work life, or third or fourth quarter of my work life, and I hold the rank of deputy chief, that this just gets to linger out there in perpetuity. You know, and if I decide that I want to make the move to another organization in another state or otherwise, we don't believe that that's going to come back to haunt us? You know, we know that this process is definitely flawed in some fashion. You and I have had this discussion before. You know, Sabrina Richardson was allowed to sit for this captain's test. She was demoted to the rank of lieutenant, and she admitted to payroll fraud.
Yep. And she was actually, she took the test to be a major, but she was excluded from being on the major's promotion list because her appeal of the demotion was denied. So you don't go from the rank of lieutenant to major. So she took the test to be a major, thinking that she would win on the issue of her 180-day suspension and demotion. She lost.
So are we sure that this isn't about her? Are we sure that this isn't about her? Because I'm not absolutely certain.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm also not absolutely certain when I go back to the definition, because from what I understand, I started asking questions. The top seven candidates on the captain's list are white. Not to create more issues that are there, but if we're going to be talking about bias and what they're potentially guilty of, we need to talk about all of this stuff. And you know what? This is all in a cloud. It's in the shadows, and we're not talking about any of it. And we think that outside evaluators are going to go and cure this, modify this list, and see what the credibility and confidence in this organization goes to. It is going to be a shit show, to say the least. I mean,
and we're trying to slap some air freshener on it right now.
Absolutely. We have opened Pandora's box here because we are being less than. And for this court to allow this to go on is tragic. Tragic. I mean, the resolution is going to be, our deputy chiefs engaged in bias. Beautiful. I'm so glad that people are stepping up.
There will be a report. I don't think the court's going to let this go. I mean, I might be wrong. But my read of it is that this is just the beginning of the next phase. There's going to be a report that's going to be issued. And if that report is unfavorable, I expect there to be a hearing in court along the lines of the way that the first INVAPI investigation followed by the court. So I don't think this is over. I think this is the beginning.
Yeah, this is a joke.
A new process. Yep.
It is an absolute joke. We'll be right back. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Stay with us, folks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keepandswitch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported, 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. Rafael, I think there's an update on St. John Judge Vercel Fifi. Is it Fifi? Fifi's?
Fifi. Judiciary Commission. Yes.
Yeah, Fifi's Judiciary Commission complaint. Tell us about it.
All right. Now, I don't want you to get, you just got worked up about the promotions list. This is really going to set you on your
this
ear.
This might put me over the edge.
I'm telling you. Buckle up.
Well, obviously, it's put you over the rails, too.
Well, yeah. This guy. So Judge Fifi was elected to the bench in St. John the Baptist Parish and took office in January of 21. And he wasn't on the bench too very long. Every third month, every district judge, and there's only three district judges in the 40th Judicial District, take a duty where they are available to be consulted by the sheriff's office to sign warrants. So Judge Fifi, as soon as he took office, began to give the sheriff's office problems where they were trying to get warrants, and warrants are necessary for the investigative agency, the sheriff's office, to develop sufficient evidence to determine if a crime has been committed. They have to go seek a court's permission to search a home, search the contents of cell phones, and arrest people. So Judge Fifi, when he was approached by the sheriff's office to obtain a search warrant to search a suspect's house, in addition to producing probable cause on the warrant, the judge imposed the additional condition that before he would sign the warrant, that the sheriff's office had to go to the suspect and first ask them for permission to search their home. And only then, if it was denied, would the judge consider signing a warrant. But that warrant that was submitted to him contained the probable cause in it. So that was... The seek permission is not something that the law requires, but Judge Fifi required that. And that happened, you know, from the first time he was on duty after being elected in 2021, and it only accelerated. So so complaints were filed with the Louisiana Judiciary Commission by Sheriff Mike Traeg and St. John's Judge Nagana Lewis, one of the three judges of the court. She filed a complaint because she had issued bench warrants for the arrest of people that didn't come to court. And Judge Fifi remanded her withdrew her warrants. She went to him and said, "Those are my warrants. This is my case. Don't do it." And he continued to do it. So she filed a complaint with the Judiciary Commission. And last week, on Friday, the Louisiana Judiciary Commission concluded that Judge Fifi had violated 7 judicial canons. 7 canons, you know, in his brief time on the bench. And they concluded that, you know, the judge had mishandled warrant requests, failed to comply with the clear order of an appellate court ordering him to do something, and he refused to do it. recalled two bench warrants issued by another judge contrary to her request, and failed to cooperate with other members of the criminal justice system. Pursuant to that hearing and all of the evidence presented against him and the recommendations of the Louisiana Judiciary Commission, the Supreme Court imposed sanctions against Judge Fifi last week that included a six-month suspension without pay. 3 months of it were deferred. He was placed on active double secret probation for 2 years and was ordered to pay the cost of the Judiciary Commission incurred in investigating and prosecuting him of over $9,000. So this is a judge that was, you know, elected and sworn into office to uphold the laws of Louisiana. And the Supreme Court concluded that he was misapplying the law, was in fact presenting and appeared to be presenting a bias against law enforcement and towards suspects in this case, that he had misinterpreted the law, had ignored the advice of his mentoring judge. All new judges get mentoring judges, and he was advised by his mentoring judge that what he was doing was wrong, and he ignored that. And the Supreme Court finally decided that they could not allow this to go on and sanctioned him. So I know that, you know, I don't believe that the sanctions went far enough, but at least now it's been made public, and he is basically on the radar screen. If he violates any provisions of his quote-unquote probation, yeah, that means that not only can a new investigation be launched and discipline is progressive when it comes to judicial misconduct as it is with criminal misconduct, but I think that also we now have, you know, the sheriff and one of his fellow judges that have stepped forward, and it's pretty hard to break that line when you're filing complaints against fellow members of the criminal justice system. But in this particular case, it needed to be done, and I admire the fact that both Judge Lewis and Sheriff Craig took the steps that they took to hold this judge accountable.
You know, it's interesting. If you had a law enforcement officer that got a warrant, failed to put it in the system, that law enforcement officer would be disciplined. And in many cases, he'd be fired, right? And yep. Because he could never have, he's lost credibility, right? And we think that we're going to remediate this judge with a six-month unpaid suspension with 3 months deferred? I mean, is that really what we believe? And we wonder why the judicial system is run amok day in and day out. There's really no consequence, right? I mean,
right.
Here's a case of the evidence has been provided of intentionality as it relates to bias. How does that person continue as an arbiter? This is mind-boggling.
So, you know, the court, you know, the precedence of discipline with respect to this is they take into consideration the judge's prior history. Now, this judge didn't have a prior history because he started with his misconduct essentially as soon as he was sworn in. So this was, quote-unquote, his first offense. And usually you're going to get the benefit of doubt on the first offense. But the fact that they issued, you know, a three-month suspension without pay is, to me, you know, a wake-up call for him. And unless he changes his actions, I think that, you know, the next time he violates the rules, you're going to be looking at something much more significant than 3 months without pay and 2 years of probation. I mean, you're talking about cases involving domestic violence. You're talking about pornography. You're talking about offenses against children that law enforcement, the sheriff's office, went to the judge to obtain warrants, and he failed to make a decision on the warrants. I mean, in this judgment by the Supreme Court, they cite no fewer than 15 examples of the judge reviewing warrants and then not making a decision. In some instances, the suspect left the state before the warrants could be executed. So, you know, you're talking about impeding important investigations that not only just inconvenience law enforcement, they expose victims and the public to crime. And that's what the Supreme Court acknowledged in their decision, that, you know, the judge's inaction, the judge's misapplication of the law, the judge's bias was delaying significant criminal investigations involving child abuse, domestic violence, pornography, and other felony offenses as well. So, you know, this is significant. What is troubling is that this is a newly elected judge, which maybe speaks to, you know, the fact that maybe electing judges may not be the best path forward in all of this. There's another process called merit selection, and I think that we probably would benefit from moving towards a merit selection process as opposed to an elective process for judges.
Did they put in a monitor for his court? Is there someone that's going to monitor him?
Yeah, so he has a mentor that's supposed to be there and, you know, be reviewing what he's doing. So, and then, you know, the active monitors are going to continue to be the sheriff and the fellow judges. If he continues to persist in the conduct that resulted in this, it will be reported.
I have probably 10 texts here from people saying they were in that court in the last several months, and they said it's a circus. It's a joke.
Right.
It's like, I mean, they're coming in one after the other.
I mean, so he was elected, and he probably, you know, wasn't suitable to be a judge. What you're seeing is that in some instances, individuals are seeking judicial positions, not because they're successful in the practice of law. They aren't successful in the practice of law, and they consider being a judge a step up and an increase in pay.
So all right, we got to get to a break. I apologize. Let us get to a break, because I know I want to talk about your event next week when we return. We're visiting with Raffi Goianeci, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll be right back. So, folks, next Thursday, we're going to be broadcasting live from the Metropolitan Crime Commission's luncheon. Looking forward to it. We've got some great speakers. Raffi, tell us about it.
Right. So this is our annual awards luncheon, which has become the way that the public is informed of some of the magnificent work that's done by investigative and prosecutorial teams. So we're going to be issuing awards to three groups of individuals that were involved in some of the most significant law enforcement public safety issues in the past year. We've talked about two of them. The third one that we're going to be acknowledging is the FBI's Operation Clean House Task Force. There are 20 different agencies that participated in this effort to round up some of the most violent criminal offenders in the city of New Orleans in June. Those 20 agencies that worked in that made 151 arrests, seized 57 firearms, 10 of which were fully automatic, and confiscated narcotics, substantial quantities of narcotics during that roundup. The crime reductions that we've experienced in July going forward to present were in large part because those 151 violent and repeat offenders had been taken off the streets by that initiative. So, you know, this is an opportunity to come celebrate the accomplishments of law enforcement. Also, we have guest speakers that include the governor, Sheriff Joe LoPinto, DA Jason Williams, and the FBI special agent in charge, Lionel Mithel. So whoever comes is going to get an earful and feel really good about the way things are going from a public safety, criminal justice perspective, and get some insight from some of the leaders in criminal justice. And anyone that wants to attend, we still have seats available. You can go to metrocrime.org. We still have a challenge match. Any new tables or tickets or donations that we receive will be matched dollar for dollar, up to $15,000. So there's a great opportunity to come support local law enforcement and the Metropolitan Crime Commission. The meeting is next Thursday at noon at the Sheraton on Canal Street. Go to metrocrime.org to purchase tickets or to sponsor the event.
Raffi, thank you so much, as always, for joining us today. We truly appreciate and enjoy the conversation, and we'll see you next week at the event at the Sheraton Hotel. Look forward to it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Bye.
All righty, folks, that's Rafael Goyeneche, president of Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll check in with Scoot when we return. Stay with us. Scoot's up next, and he joins us. What's up for the next 3 hours, Scoot?
Well, we'll talk about Halloween, which is today, and really going along with Halloween is the scary nature of politics, so that kind of fits right in. I've got a couple of versions of the song Season of the Witch that I'm going to play, and by the way, it's not a song about Kamala Harris. Some people want to make that distinction. And I'm going to do a review of The Singing Trump last night at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center. It was really pretty amazing.
Were you there? I didn't see you. I was there. It was great.
I was there.
It was a great show.
Yeah, I didn't see you either. But didn't you think it was kind of amazing?
I thought it was funny. I
the guy can sing.
From the beginning to the end. He can sing.
That was funny stuff. So we'll do a review of that. I totally enjoyed it last night.
Absolutely. Scoot's up next, folks. Stay tuned. Got a great slate coming your way. Hope you enjoy your Halloween evening. Stay safe. We'll see you again in the morning.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.